course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends today. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too bad. I would like to start this podcast by saying that nothing, and I mean nothing, beats a ballpark hot dog. I went to a baseball game over the weekend, got me a nice ballpark hot dog, and it was delicious.
That's right. It definitely, those are the pinnacle. So on this episode, we are going to review Final Destination Bloodlines. That's coming up in just a bit. Before we get there, Ike, what else did you watch this week?
Oh, Lordy. Well, I was kind of busy this last week, but I did get in a little bit of Last of Us. We were able to truck through season one, and we started on season two. So such a good show, and it's just love it. But other than that, I've been a little busy, so just kind of here and there watching some stuff like on YouTube, and I've been watching Man vs. Food for some reason, like the old show where you do all those random food challenges. I don't know why. Now that's not horror related, but depending on who you ask, it might be.
Sure. Yeah. No, I didn't. Excuse me. I didn't really watch anything either. I've yet to watch start Last of Us season two yet. Season one was great, so gotta dive into season two soon. But otherwise, yeah, I didn't. I had aspirations to watch some things, but just didn't develop. Just too much going on. So, all right, then let's move on to our first segment.
Order up. Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And it's time for our cheesy slasher of the week. This is where I present to you just that, a cheesy slasher, a low budget movie, a non-mainstream and off the wall, just an under the radar movie that maybe you haven't heard of. And we try to keep it in the theme of the show to kind of run parallel to the review we're doing this week. And so this episode, we present to you the movie Long Time Dead. It was released in theaters in the UK on January 18, 2002, and then on video in the US on October 28, 2003. Now, from what I've seen, I don't believe it got a theatrical release in the US. The movie was written and directed by Marcus Adams, starring Joe Absalom, Laura Belmont, Melanie Goodridge, and others, and is described as a young college student and his friends use a Ouija board to hold a seance, triggering a chain of mysterious deaths that may be caused by an otherworldly force. This movie is often described as a Final Destination ripoff, and not a very good one at that. I have heard that this is one of the worst horror movies of all time. I have not seen it, but don't let that discourage you. Just watch it and see what you think for yourself. But I don't know how you'll watch it because the movie does not seem to be streaming anywhere. So if you do want to watch it, it looks like you're going to have to dig up a physical copy. I guess that's a pretty strong indication when with all the streaming services that are out there, all the free streaming services, all the horror streaming services and everything else, if a movie is not streaming anywhere, not even that I can find to purchase or anything, that might be an alarming statement to be made, because you don't see that very often, that you just can't find it anywhere. So I guess hit eBay up or something and try to seek out Long Time Dead. And if you have seen it before, let us know what you think, because I've not seen it. I don't have a physical copy, so it doesn't look like I will be seeing it anytime soon. But I am curious, because everybody talked about how bad it was, so now I'm curious to want to see, yeah, is it as bad as they say? I'm like this glutton for movie punishment.
Same.
I'm very curious now, because it's like, come on. So I don't know. Maybe someday I'll get to watch it. So, all right, let's move on to the next segment. Talk to us, Internet. And it's time for Talk to Us, Internet. This is where Ike and I either respond to listener feedback or we discuss a point brought up on social media. And the point we're discussing just briefly this week is, what is your favorite Final Destination kill from the franchise? You know what? I didn't really think this over too awful long, too awful hard. I'm just going to stick with the old tried and true. It's just the old log truck kill. That's the one that always resonates with me. It's the one that always sticks in the memory. I mean, there's lots, right, that were creative and whatnot. And we won't talk in detail, but we'll talk a little about the newer ones in a bit. But it's still, and you know, given the marketing scheme and everything else, I think the log truck, I think that resonates with a lot of people. But I think that's the one that'll always jump out for me first and foremost. So, Ike, what about you?
Man, so when you sent me this, like, I was like thinking to myself, I was like, there's like all these iconic kills within the Final Destination universe. I mean, there's just so many. But I was like, which one of these like really made my skin crawl? And there's one from, I want to say it's Final Destination 5, which is supposed to be like the prequel one, I think, to like the first movie or something like that. But there's a scene where a girl is doing like a gymnastics like stuff. Mm. And she's like on the, what is it called? Like the beam or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she, like narrowly avoids like dying from that, but then she like does like the double pull things, and basically it ends up with her like breaking her spine, and like the visual is like her body literally just like folds in half and like makes like the worst sound I've ever heard in my life. Yeah, that's probably the one that like I can still vividly remember and just makes my spine itch a little bit.
Yeah, I think, if I've had to pick a second, so there's always that, I can't remember which one it's from, but the one with the tanning bed kill, where the girls
get... Yeah, I think that was the third one, maybe.
Yeah, where the girls get stuck in the tanning bed, that's always kind of creepy. I don't know why. I don't know why it's just so funny, the whole scene, because it's like these dingy girls, and there's, you know, playing this music and everything else, and they get stuck in the tanning. I don't know, maybe it's that weird... I don't know what you want to call it, but anyway, that one always jumps out at me for some reason. I was gonna say, for me, it's the log truck always jumps out first. I mean, that might be a cheap cop out. I think it's probably the most memorable for a lot of people, but it is with me. So,
well, I was gonna say my runner up would probably be the plane death from the first one. Like, that one also might be a cop-out, but it's so memorable, and they did it so well. And, like, when you watch it that first time, especially just in the context of the movie, this is the first time you've ever seen this movie, right? You've never seen this scene before. And you just watch every person that you've been, like, somewhat introduced to in this movie. You watch all of them die horrifically, and you're like, what the fuck? This movie just started. So that one's also pretty iconic, because you're just like, well, there you go.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. We talked about that in the past. The first, I mean, it was such a groundbreaking movie, right? It was like, nothing was like it when the first one came out. It was so different, so unique. And it was so, you know, and they stuck with their tried and true. And, you know, some people may say that became kind of, you know, tired after a while. Well, yeah, so be it, whatever. But, you know, I think it was last episode is, overall, you don't watch a Final Destination movie a lot for the story. You watch it for the unique kills. So, but we will talk more about that in relation to the most recent one in a little bit. So right now, let's go on to our next segment.
Two Truths and an AI.
And it's time for Two Truths and an AI. This is the segment where I present to Ike three movie descriptions, and two of them are actual descriptions of real movies, actual movies, and one is a description that has been produced by AI. Ike tries to guess which one is the AI. So, Ike, are you ready to play?
I am ready as always.
All right, here is description number one. A young man finds means to summon a death god to supernaturally kill those he feels are worthy. All
Wow.
right, description two. Three high schoolers discover their telekinetic powers, whoo, and record their gifts as the darkness of the power takes over. And
Okay.
description three. A group of friends narrowly avoid death when a lighthouse collapses during a storm. The lucky survivors believe they have been spared until they begin dying one by one in inexplicable ways. So those
Okay.
are the three.
So the second movie, run it by me one more time.
Number two.
Yeah.
Number two says three high schoolers discover their telekinetic powers and record their gifts as the darkness of the power takes over.
Okay. So the first one it so the first one sounds like Death Note, the movie. It's a guy who he gets a book and it summons a Shinigami, which is a death god, and any name that he writes in the book will die because of that. And so it's like I feel pretty confident that that's that book or that movie. The second one sounds distinctly familiar. I want to say it's the movie, man, it's can't remember the name of it, but it's like it's they get powers, and then like it's but it's three guys, they get powers, and it's like a found footage movie, and they're like following each other, and one of them like turns evil, and the other two like have to basically take him down. So like those for sure, like those seem like movies I've seen or have at least heard of. So I feel pretty confident that three then would have to be the AI, because those other two are so distinct and I know those movies. But then at the same time, maybe the AI pulled some details from, movies I have seen and makes me think I know it. But I'm going to say three is the AI today.
Okay, so description number one. A young man finds means to summon a death god to supernaturally kill those who he feels are worthy. That is the movie Death Note.
Hey.
Number two, three high schoolers discover their telekinetic powers and record their gifts as the darkness of the power takes over. That is the movie Chronicle.
Yes, Chronicle. I knew it.
And the third one, a group of friends narrowly avoid death when a lighthouse collapses during a storm. The lucky survivors believe they have been spared until they begin dying in inexplicable ways. That is AI entered with the parameters story-like Final Destination.
Bam.
So there you go. All right. I beat the AI this week. We are safe from Skynet for now.
Hey, Chronicle has Michael B. Jordan in it too, so
That's right.
that's noteworthy right there.
Yeah. Hey, you wait, hold on here. I need to pause because in our talk to us internet, I forgot I was going to bring up a point. And here's Dave. Here's the old man who's going to get on a soapbox a little bit because I said that I would that that people are safe giving us feedback. We won't flame them. But if you're an asshole to us, I'm going to be an asshole back. On YouTube, somebody listened apparently to one of our shows. I don't remember which one it was. And their comment that they made on YouTube was something to the effect of title says review, 40 minutes in, review hasn't started. Fuck this. That was their comment. Number one, and I commented this back, where in our titles does it say review? We do not put the term review in our titles. So right off the bat, you lied. You just lied. We don't put review, right? We just put the movie title in there. But that, you know what? I if you don't want to listen to all the other stuff, just fast forward and get to the review part. I don't understand what if you don't. I mean, but what kills me is apparently this person listened to 40 something minutes and then decided he was done. I'm like, dude, you've committed almost an hour. Thank you. I'm like, what I don't know what you whatever. But it's like, why? I don't understand. I don't understand why this guy or girl, I don't know who it is. I don't know why they decided to put this comment. But if you think you're hurting my feeling, it just made me laugh. But
That's insane. 40 minutes to say that's so weird. That's such an odd thing to do, honestly.
it's like, why take the time? But I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know what they expected. I don't know if they expected it was just be the review. I don't know. Our show notes clearly state that we do news and birthdays and discuss this and that, and then have the review. I mean, it's there. If you just look a little bit, it states we do other things. In our title, it doesn't state that it's just a review. It just has the title of the movie that we review in the episode. So I'm sorry if you were confused in your simplistic mind thinking that all we do is reviews and that's it. I'm sorry. And the thing is, if you got to the review and you're that hardcore about the review, you will probably be disappointed because we don't give away spoilers. So I'm guessing
Right.
if you're that much of an asshole about it to begin with, it's probably not going to be the kind of review you're looking for. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what this person wants. I frankly don't care, but it just humors me that someone takes that amount of time to put a comment on. And it's like that they and it states in their comment that apparently they listened for 40 minutes before checking out. And all I'm thinking in my mind is, hell, we held them for 40 minutes when all they wanted was a review. So that's not bad. If someone was looking for something else and we held their interest like, or whatever for 40 minutes, hey, I call that a win. So
Absolutely.
thanks for your listen. I mean, 40 minutes is a that's a pretty good listen time for YouTube. So I'll take it. So whatever. All right. But I had to bring that up because it made me chuckle. Some of the comments you get on YouTube just make me chuckle. Because it's like some of the comments have nothing to do with anything. They're just weird. And some people point out some of the most ridiculous things. Like literally on one of my wrestling videos, which is actual like wrestling, like a wrestling show, someone literally the other day commented, "Pretty scrawny legs for pro athletes." And I'm
You're like,
like,
okay.
I'm like, and this video was from like 1968 or something like that. And I'm like, really? This was like a TV show from the late 60s, early 70s. And that's what you're, I mean, I'm like, it just that these people, that this person thought that was significant enough to take the time to comment just makes me laugh. I don't even know. I don't even know what to say about stuff like that, but
What can you say? Be like, bro, this is like from 60 years ago. What are you talking about?
all I know is that if you're taking that much time, whatever. I mean, you're watching, you're interacting, so it's all good. But I'm like, I didn't produce the show. I'm not offended by this. I'm not one of the wrestlers of the show. So what are you shaming me because I posted a video with guys with scrawny legs? And I will know, I will before we move on. I know this is a complete sidetrack. But posting videos of wrestling shows and wrestling content sometimes on YouTube, you do get your fair share of perverse comments of people that just watch it for the nearly naked manpower. And a lot of them, if they get a little too far, I just delete the comments because I'm like, that's a little too much. But they always make me chuckle. I'm like, it's like porn's not that hard to access. But yet you're watching pro wrestling for that. I just don't,
Right.
I don't understand. Especially when all the pro wrestling, the newest pro wrestling that I have posted on my channel is at least 40 years old. That's the newest that I would have probably around that realms at least. I'm like, you have a very particular kink, my friend. And more power to you. So I'm glad I could help you out. But anyway, that's a whole sidetrack. Hope we didn't lose whoever that is that's waiting for the review, because we're rambling. And buddy, the review's coming up. I'm telling you, just hang in there. But let's
Right
take a
around the
break.
corner,
That's
man.
right. But first, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with news. But hey, buddy, the review's coming after this segment. So just stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two, and Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back to the news. All right. Let's go ahead and get it started off here with there is an official trailer with Welcome to Derry, or SHA 4 Welcome to Derry, the It prequel series coming to HBO Max this fall. Now, I have not yet watched this, but I did see it come out. Super excited. Saw a couple like screen snips from there, and it looks good. I mean, it so far so good. I know a lot of people were kind of concerned that this was going to be a little either pulling the strings a little too much, or maybe just not what it needed to be. But I mean, it looks good. I'm 100% ready for it based only on the pictures I saw.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched the trailer, and it's 100% just got me more excited. I was already excited. But nice little trailer, set the stage good, built a little tension, and then when you're at the end of the trailer, you're seeing Pennywise again. It's like bam, beautiful. Got me. I mean, I was already hooked. Whatever else, but now it's like, just come on, bring it on. And the, I guess the little side note in all this is, yes, for anybody that is concerned, maybe our review guy, since he's critiquing every word we say, apparently, it was not a mistake that we said HBO Max. Yes, they have gone back. They're going back to being called Max is going back to be calling HBO Max. So that's a whole other weird ass side story. That's just chuckles on me because I again, on a side note, I remember when they did this and they went to Max. And in my mind, I thought, really, you think Max is the more sellable of the two between HBO and Max? That didn't make sense to me. But alas, they're back to HBO Max. So. Whatever. The trailer was good. It was really good. I look forward to more and some more teasers. But I don't need a trailer. I'm excited anyway. I was going to watch it anyway. I have 100% full confidence in this product, and I'm down completely for the whole It universe to be expanded upon.
Absolutely. But hopefully we'll get some more information before that comes out this fall, maybe more trailers and all that good jazz. But we'll keep an eye out on that as we get closer to the fall. In the meantime, we're going to move on to the Friday the 13th rights holders. Jason Universe unveiled the design of their Jason Voorhees to lead movies, gaming, collectibles, and more. Walking Dead makeup legend Greg Nicotero helped with the redesign of our friendly neighborhood, Jason Voorhees. I think it looks pretty good. I saw the redesign, and it looked pretty solid to me. I thought that it was – he kind of looks deformed from under the mask. The one I saw was just him with the mask.
Yeah.
And then the brain. Well, not the brain, but like the top of his head kind of looked all funky, and he had like little spurts of hair coming out. So – I thought it looked good. I thought it looked legitimately like, you know, a pretty true to roots Jason design, but with a couple of tweaks that it kind of makes it seem a little fresh. So I think it looked good. I saw a lot of people complaining about it. So I guess maybe in the minority on that one.
I don't understand. What are they complaining about? Because here, when I heard this was, I saw, right. This was a thing. I read a little thing. I thought, oh no. What have they done? You know, and I'm like, I'm almost afraid to look. And then I saw it, and I'm like, yeah, this just feels like classic Jason to me. It feels very, you know, very whatever, you know, Friday 3 or so. You know, I mean, it's kind of in that realm. It's just a little modernized, no big deal. I thought, They didn't change anything super bad to make this like an unrecognizable character. So what the fuck are people complaining about? I don't get it. I don't understand. I do not understand. And this is, they understand this is just a mock-up thing. I mean, this is like, I don't know, man. When you put it into a movie or something, it's going to look, you know, look a little different. But what were they wanting? Were they wanting something completely different? Because I wasn't. That's not what I wanted. I was scared to death. They were going to do something really, really ignorant. You know, some Jason X Part 2 complete overhaul redesign. And it was going to be, you know, unrecognizable. And I'm like, yeah, I looked at that. And I'm like, bam, that's Jason Voorhees. And right. And I'm good. I liked it. I don't see an issue at all.
I think the one thing that I saw was somebody criticized the, they said that his head looked too skinny or his neck looks too skinny. It was someone said that. And then the other thing I saw was that they don't know why they called it Jason Universe, but they could have come up with a cooler name. But I'm like, I mean, Jason Universe is pretty a pretty apt description of a universe led by its titular character, yeah. Jason. I mean, like,
that's just what they're labeling it to include all the things that Jason will appear in, right? The movies, the games, the merchandise. This is all part of this. That's a pretty bland, generic name to all encompass it. What's the issue there? Who cares? Why is that important? That's not important. What's important is, hey, if they make a movie, let's make a good movie. If they do something with the game, let's make a good game. Let's put out some cool collectibles. I don't give a shit what your little parent umbrella name is for it. Whatever. Yeah. Did you see that the rumor also that looks like that the Friday the 13th game may be coming back on online and stuff as part of this?
Yeah, I saw somebody say that with the rights that the people who made the original Friday the 13th game, now this is just speculation, but there are rumors that they were given an offer to sell it to them, and then the new company would come in and take over. They would keep pretty much anything that's existing, but they would continue to create content for it. And then the servers and stuff would come back online. So that way it could be an online game again. That's what I heard. But again, I don't know if that's factual or not.
Yeah, but I mean, it makes sense, right? That's an easy thing to do. You can kind of shift gears a little bit while keeping what's existing there and just do a refresh on it and whatever. I mean, it's, you know, it's easy to do that thing nowadays. So I don't know. I don't care. Whatever. People complain too much. I'm just excited that we have Friday the 13th stuff happening, that there's just some stuff going on, that we're supposedly getting Crystal Lake, that we got this Jason that, okay, it's not, you know, it's not too outlandish, and that we're going to get some stuff. And at least there's people are out there working to bring this property back to where it belongs. And don't complain before they've even put stuff out there yet. I mean, exactly. All they've done is one freaking mock-up design for Jason. They don't even have any finished products out, and people want to complain. Oh, come on.
I was going to say, literally, all it is just the freaking, like, a 3D render of Jason Voorhees. It's not even, like, a real person. It's literally just a 3D render of a concept.
I'm just glad that things seem to be
moving.
Yes. I mean, I'm glad. Just so, you know, we don't have anything to complain about yet. This is it's one picture. Whatever. Move on.
Fair enough. But moving on. Ryan Kira Armstrong, who starred in the remake of Firestarter, has been cast to play the new Slayer in Hulu's reboot of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She will be joined in the pilot episode by Sarah Michelle Gellar, returning as Buffy Summers. The show is expected to debut sometime in 2026. Now, this is probably pretty exciting for any big Buffy fans out there. I really need to sit down and watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But I think that the actress, Ryan Keir Armstrong, I think that would probably be a good idea. She's really young still. So I think that'd be, I mean, that would probably be a good idea, so that way they could make it a long running television series if they really wanted it to.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean,
and it fits, right? Because in Buffy, that was one of the points, right? That Buffy was supposedly a little old to be starting to be a Slayer, right? That most Slayers are start their training and stuff a little younger. That was a thing that, so, you know, it makes sense, right? And I, you know, and I'm glad, you know, that Sarah Michelle Gellar will be on there, even if she's only in that first episode, whatever. At least the transition to put that on there. You know, I'm excited, right? I love Buffy. I always watch, you know, I watched Buffy. And so, you know, I'm excited to see what they do with it. And I'm just glad that it's just, this is just not a straight remake, right? This is a kind of a reboot continuation type thing. And so I'm excited to see what they do and see how I like it.
Absolutely. But very good. We'll have to keep an eye on that in 2026. But for now, we're going to move on to upcoming birthdays. Our first birthday is May 23rd, 1969. Felisa Rose from Sleepaway Camp and many, many, many other things. You know, she had her Terrifier 2 cameo. She also had a cameo in Stream. And she's been in a lot of other stuff. She was in the Return to Sleepaway Camp.
So much stuff. She's always working.
Absolutely. And she's fantastic. Super nice to fans. I mean, there's people, I mean, like, I see people online talking about all the time how great she is at cons and conventions. So
she is. I saw her at a con one time. I went to a panel and I went to a panel and listened to the panel. She was coming in for something after, and I we were still sitting there, and I mean, she just come up and started talking to us, and just like, not like, you know, like a celebrity or, you know, whatever to be us. She was just talking. Oh, hey, how's your day going? What are you doing? Just talking. Cause you know, we were there. I mean, she was just super nice, super approachable. And, and you know, and I do swoon a little bit. She's one of my horror crushes. She's, she's pretty amazing. And, yeah, I love me some Felisa Rose. One of my bucket list guests for us to interview sometime. And I hope someday that happens. Yeah, she's fantastic.
Absolutely. And like I said, she does so much, and she's so ingrained into like horror as a community. So it's always fantastic to see some love for Felisa Rose. So happy birthday to you. All right. Moving on to our next birthday, a legend of the craft. We have May 26th, 1913, Peter Cushing, star of many Hammer movies and Star Wars A New Hope. Was he was Grand Moff Tarkin, is that right, in that movie?
Yep, he was Tarkin.
Okay. Perfect. That's what I thought. I was almost 100% sure, but I was like, I got to say it out loud to make sure. But obviously, Peter Cushing has been in so much. You know, Star Wars was a drop in the bucket compared to, like, all of the other stuff that he's done. But obviously, Star Wars is amazing. It's just, he is a very prolific actor for his time. So,
yeah.
You know, and of course, he has passed now. Otherwise, he would be over 100 years old. So, you know. And we wish him happy birthday in his memory. But Dave, what do you think about Peter Cushing?
I mean, he's a legend, right? I mean, obviously he jumps most at me for, you know, Star Wars, because that's, yeah, it's like one of the first things, you know, that I remember him from. Right, I've always been such a Star Wars fan, and you know, always loved him that. But then, you know, I've watched all those Hammer movies, right, and all those where he plays Van Helsing and Victor Frankenstein and all the different things and all those old movies and everything else too. And it's just, it's remarkable to look at his filmography and everything he's done. It's incredible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But we wish you a happy birthday, Mr. Cushing. Moving on now to May 26, 1975, Nikki Icox from Supernatural and Jeepers Creepers number two. You know, obviously we always have to say happy birthday to any Supernatural alum that ever pops up ever. But of course we are also, you know, wishing her happy birthday in memory, as she passed away a few years ago.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, Jeepers Creepers 2 is so great. She was in Supernatural. She's been in all kinds of other stuff too. I believe she was in the X-Files movie, wasn't she? Like
Yeah,
an
I think so.
extra or something.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, she's the original Meg in
Yep.
Supernatural. Was super super good. And yeah, so she was always good. Whatever she popped up in, she was very talented.
Absolutely. So happy birthday to you and in memory, of course. Moving on now to May 27th, 1911. Vincent Price from House of Wax, House on Haunted Hill. Vincent Price, again, a very prolific actor for his time and just in general. Also dearly departed, of course. So far, every single person on this list except for Felice Rose has been, is not no longer with us. Vincent Price, obviously, he's done so much, and it's weird because both these movies that we have listed today for him have been remade, weirdly enough. So, but I'm sure if I went through his filmography, there'd be even more because that's just how horror is.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's got such a long list. That's just two of his stuff. But probably what he is absolutely most known for is doing the introduction to the song Thriller by Michael Jackson. And that's what most people probably most a lot of people now will remember him for. But he is already an icon by that time. That's the reason he did it. So, but yeah, I mean, you can't even begin to list all the movies he was in, like Peter Cushing and like the next guy you're going to talk about. I mean, they're just you can't even begin to list them all.
No, not even close. But you're absolutely right. The next one is May 27th, 1922. Christopher Lee, who played Dracula in the Hammer movies, Star Wars, Attack of the Clones. He played Count Dooku. He was also in Episode 3. He was also in Lord of the Rings franchise, and perhaps greater than all of those, how The Howling 2. Your
No.
sister's a werewolf.
No, come
He
on.
plays Stefan.
I
Listen, I am convinced
don't even
that
know how that
if I genuinely I am like not even joking when I say this. You've heard the old like what if like oh what actor would you have dead or alive would you have like a conversation with a famous person? 1000% it would be Christopher Lee, and it would be for the sole fucking purpose of asking why the hell he was in that movie. Absolutely. I would waste my wish on that because I have to know. There's absolutely no reason he was in that movie, but he was. I don't get it.
Well, it just had to have been at that point in his career, right? Where the Hammer stuff had kind of dried up and was done. And maybe he wasn't getting a lot else. He hadn't got to that Star Wars point and some of that yet. It was just that, I guess, maybe that weird stage of his career. And it's, I don't know. I mean, so weird to think. It's just weird. There's nothing more to say. Just so weird.
It is just I just I'm still baffled by it to this day. And of course, our dear Christopher Lee, he passed away a few years ago, about 10 years ago actually, back in 2015, which that's a whole other thing to talk about. 10 years ago is 2015, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's funny when you look at the Star Wars franchise and some of the people they've had in it. I mean, Vince. I mean, Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee. Shit, what was the other name? I was just Alec Guinness playing Obi-Wan. I mean, it's so remarkable. These very accomplished British actors doing these sci-fi movies, especially when you think about Alec Guinness doing the first one. Right. And in how to him that had to seem so goofy at the time, because it's the first. And then it's just weird. It's they've, say what you want about the entire the franchise overall. They have definitely cast some talented people.
Absolutely. I mean, again, it's just, I think that even Alec Guinness talked about how he wasn't going to do it originally. And I don't remember what caused him to actually take the role, but I mean, now he's synonymous with being, Obi-Wan in that film.
Yeah, it just, I mean, I imagine that in the 70s and him pitching that to him and whatever. I mean, it had to seem so weird to him at that time, because there wasn't a lot of movies like that, right? There was nothing of that magnitude. It just had to be so odd. And for him to take a chance on something like that, it's weird. It's weird to think about. Because it's easy now to look back and think, oh, Star Wars, right? It's a blockbuster. It's an unbelievable movie. But imagine it before it was made, and trying to tell people this is what we're doing, and trying to get someone on board, and they're like, you're doing what now? And it, and when there's nothing pre-existing, there is no Star Wars, right? And they're like, oh, so is this like Star Trek? It's like, well, yeah, but it's weird to think. I would have loved to have heard some of the how they pitched that to someone like him, but
Very carefully is how they pitched it. Very, very carefully.
they needed a guy like that to bring, right? I mean, him and well, I mean, Peter Cushing too, right? Was in that first one. They needed those kind of guys because you had all these unknowns, the Mark Hamill's, the Carrie Fisher's there. These guys weren't proven yet, and then so you needed a couple of established actors, even if they had smaller roles, to give it some credibility. It just whatever. I mean, I can think about it for hours. I know this is not a Star Wars podcast. I could do a Star Wars podcast. Would love a Star Wars podcast, but it's just fascinating to think about that kind of stuff.
No, absolutely. It's Star Wars is a phenomenon, let's just say that. And but obviously we're jumping back to the plot here. Happy birthday, Christopher Lee, in memory, of course, as well. And thankfully, our last birthday here, they are still alive. So we started and
That's right.
ended with alive
And she
people.
wasn't in Star Wars, so.
No, she was not in Star Wars, but May 27th, 1958. Linnea Quigley, known for Return of the Living Dead, Night of the Demons. It also looks like she was in Silent Night, Deadly Night, and Graduation Day. And for people who are asking, well, who did she play in Return of the Living Dead? Well, she played the red-haired woman who danced naked for like
That's
five
right.
minutes awkwardly and then
That's right.
died.
That's right. She is a true scream queen. So she was one of those prototype female horror actresses through those things, that did the parts. Those are the kind of parts they were given. And that's what she did, and she's still around, still alive. I don't know if she's still working, but I know she does conventions and everything else. But thankfully, like you said, thankfully she's still with us, and you can still meet her.
Absolutely. And to answer your question, she does still work. She has credits from 2024, so
I
she's
figure.
still out here putting in the work. And that's commendable, absolutely. But well, all right, happy birthday to you, Miss Quigley. And we're gonna move on to some upcoming movie anniversaries. May
Some good
23rd,
ones.
19. Oh, absolutely, these are all good. May 23rd, 1980, The Shining. This is a fantastic movie, of course, based on Stephen King. This is the movie version. There is a TV version as well, which I hear is good. I've never seen though. But the movie is just so fantastic. You have Jack Nicholson. The Here's Johnny. I mean, how could you get any more iconic than literally that? I mean, that is quoted and it is shown in other versions of pop culture. Shelley Duvall. Shelley Duvall is iconic. And many, many others, but those two specifically. And then, of course, it's directed by Stanley Kubrick, right?
I wondered that. Like, I thought about that the other day. I don't know, for some reason I've had this urge to rewatch The Shining recently, and I will recently, but or soon. But I thought about that the other day. Like you mentioned, there are so many little parts of The Shining that have been, whatever, spoofed or redone or been in other little things in pop culture. I mean, there's just so many little things. The hallways, the this and that, the twins, the Here's Johnny, this just different thing, that picture that they showed, at the end or whatever. There's just so many things from this movie that have been just little snippets in other parts of pop culture. It's pretty remarkable.
Absolutely. And like you said, it one of the cool things about like pop culture, and this is a very unique phenomenon that I feel like really picked up in like the 90s and 2000s. But specifically with The Shining, for instance, I mean, The Shining is in movies like Ready Player One, which is a movie from like probably about 10 years ago now. But, you know, it's very prominent in that movie. It is, you know, featured in, I think you may have said it, but like The Simpsons, The Treehouse of Horror.
The Shining.
the Shining. He's got The Shining. And, you know, it's just, there's all kinds of stuff that's in that same vein that are just I don't know. It's just super weird how the sort of social zeitgeist is, you know what I mean? Like stuff goes in and it gets, you know, reconstrued in different ways. And it's very unique.
Yeah, it is completely permeated pop culture in so many ways. And it's just like people, it's one of those deals, even people that haven't watched the movie know what The Shining is. They know little bits and pieces of it, even if they haven't watched the movie. It's just, it's crossed that level and that barrier. But man, anybody hadn't seen it should watch it. I mean, dang, it's such a great movie. But we have others too, so let's not get caught up with The Shining here.
Well, and this one too has also, you know, sort of pushed its way into pop culture in many ways. But May 25th, 1979, Alien. You know, the "don't touch her, you bitch" or something like that, or "get your hands off her, you bitch." That's a pretty iconic line in pop culture. I mean, also just the alien itself, the xenomorph is an iconic creature. I mean, literally it's in all sorts of media. There's games about it and everything. And even then, even beyond that, I mean, like, this spawned a huge series that's still going till today.
It is. I mean, there's still stuff coming out. And that's such a good movie. And on a side note, and again, I hope I'm going on a limb here that I'm hoping I remember this correctly. If not, this someone's going to call me a fool. That's okay. I don't care. The xenomorph and alien, right? It was designed, I believe it was the, I hope someone looks this up. I believe it was designed by a guy named, I think, Winston Smith, I think. Maybe not, but it was designed. I think it was. Anyway, it was. Did you know the xenomorph? It's very, very phallic. That it's literally supposed to look like the head and everything is supposed to look like a penis. So
I did not know that. Well, now I do.
It's like you don't notice it until it's brought up. And again, I hope I'm remembering right. I don't know. Someone needs to fact check me. I want to say because Winston Smith was this pop artist type guy from New York. I think from New York. Maybe some. I don't know where he's from. I don't know. But anyway, he did a lot of different stuff. And for some reason, I think it was him that designed it or had a hand in designing it. And I don't know.
Or is it Stan Winston?
Oh, there you go. Okay, there. Maybe that's it. Yeah. Is that who it is?
Let's see. Maybe. So I Googled up Winston. I tried to put in Winston, and it's like it's Stan Winston came up, but yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Just you try to look up who designed the xenomorph or whatever.
Because I know that, and I've heard this like in like YouTube videos that talk about Alien, but it says that like the whole concept of Alien is supposed to be about like what's it called? Like sexual assault, because it's supposed to be like intrusive and violent.
Yeah.
But the iconic xenomorph design from Alien film franchise was created by Swiss surrealist artist H.R. Giger.
Okay. Well, I was completely off the name then. Okay.
But Stan Winston is a creator of later stuff, it looks like, from like Alien 2 and stuff.
So maybe that's where I'm mixing the names up. Winston Smith, somebody else then. I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting confused with my names. But I'm 99% sure it was designed to be very phallic and look very much like a penis. So there you go, kids. Your fun little fact for the day.
So Winston Smith is the main character of the dystopian novel 1984 by George Orwell. You do some George Orwell reading lately?
Not lately, but... have in the past.
Your brain just pulled that out. It's just like, that's got to be it.
I don't know. It's weird how this thing works up here. So
Right. Right, I feel that.
that's all right. Let's move on to the next movie because this is the highlight for me today.
It is. And this movie also is super relevant in pop culture. May 27th, 1988. Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I mean, come on, there's a video game, there's all this merchandise, and they're making another one. They're making a remake, reboot, requel, whatever the hell it is. So, I mean, come on, it's Killer Clowns.
Such a great movie. Such a fun movie. I mean, as I sit here and look over at my popcorn gun and my cotton candy pistol that I have over here, and I mean, come on, the Dickies doing the Killer Clowns, the song for it, such an iconic theme song for the movie. Dude, if you watch Killer Clowns and you don't have fun, there's something wrong with you.
Exactly. I hear that Ryan Gosling is going to be a part of the new one somehow.
Yeah, I heard that. Something about his production. So all I know is Ryan, just be respectful, man. Do it right. Whatever you do,
Amen.
just do it right.
Amen to that. All right, we're going to move on now to our last anniversary, which is May 28th, 1980, The Changeling. I think I don't think I've seen this one, but obviously I know what The Changeling is and what it's generally about. But obviously it's iconic in of itself. I mean, come on, that cover of the wheelchair in like the attic, that's really iconic.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it, but yeah, good movie, fun movie. It's one of those, I just feel like if you're a horror fan at some point in time, you gotta watch it, right? That's one of the old classics that you just gotta knock off that checklist at some point just because. So
There you go. It's on my list. It actually is. I have a list in my phone, but this is on there from a prior conversation that we had. So good stuff. But all right, that does it for our upcoming movie anniversaries. Moving on now to our upcoming releases. Fear Street Prom Queen will be coming to Netflix on May 23rd, and it is described as when the It Girls competing for Prom Queen at Shadyside Heights start to disappear. A gutsy outsider discovers she's in for one hell of a prom night, and we will be reviewing this next episode. This is, of course, in some way a continuation of the Fear Street movies. Fear Street movies are R.L. Stine books. I don't know. I would assume that this one is also an R.L. Stine book of some sort, but
Yeah, I assume. I don't know.
if not, it is at least adjacent, but definitely excited for this. I love Fear Street.
Yeah, the others that we watched were fun when they came out and everything. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun. It'll be a fun one to watch and review. So I like it. I dig it. Let's do it.
Absolutely. Moving on to our other releases, The Surrender is coming to Shudder on May 23rd, and it is described as, when the family patriarch dies, a grieving mother and daughter risk their lives to perform a brutal resurrection re ritual to bring him back from the dead. You got me at brutal resurrection ritual.
That's
I
right.
will 100% watch that because now I got to know what was the ritual. How did that go?
It never works. Never works. Just come on. Like they say, what's dead should stay dead. Have they never watched a movie before? You try to bring someone back, just something goes wrong.
Amen to
But
that.
we'll have to see what it is in this one.
I'm sure it's something fucked up, so we'll see.
It makes me
But
wonder what the title, the Surrender. What's that gonna do with it? What's that? That seems
I would
what?
assume that it maybe is like they have to like give something up, like a limb or like their body in some way. I don't know. Like
Yeah, because
surrendering themselves.
it does say brutal, so
True.
interesting. Yeah, I'll still watch this movie.
Same. And then the next installment in the Pooniverse, Bambi the Reckoning, will be coming to theaters on July 25th. It is described as, after a mother and son get in a car wreck, they soon become hunted by Bambi, a mutated, grief-stricken deer on a deadly rampage seeking revenge for the death of his mother. Fantastic, fantastic description. I will 100% be watching this. No comments, no quotes. That's it. Facts, no printer.
Yeah, I don't care. You said Pooniverse, I'm done. I'm there. Whatever. And first of all, I'm already on Bambi's side. You killed his mom. I'm already on his side a little bit. But I'm curious, how does Bambi get mutated? I want to know. Why is he mutated? I hope they explore that a little bit. But yeah, I'm super excited by this. And if you want to hear thoughts from the entire family on the quote-unquote, what do we call it?
Public
why
domain horror.
Public domain horror. God, why can I not think of that? With Monica and Kayla, we had that a few episodes back. They have very strong, or Monica has very strong opinions. I'm very much looking forward to this. I don't think she'll be joining me and watching it, but that's okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say she won't watch it. Kayla might watch it, but I'm excited nonetheless. It'll be a good time. I think that the more we get into this universe, the better the movies are gonna be. I mean, it's just got to happen. So
that's right. And I want a mutated Bambi figure.
Absolutely. Mutated Bambi figure, multiple movies. Hell
that's
yeah.
Right.
But all right, folks, that does it for our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. As always, take this moment to go ahead and follow us on social media. As always. And when we come back, we'll have our official review of Final Destination Bloodline.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, we're back here on Listen to the Screams. And hey, random guy on YouTube, we're doing the review now. You can you can start listening. I don't know how long we've been going. We've been going a while, so hopefully we lived up to your expectations. But we are reviewing Final Destination Bloodlines, written by Guy Busick, Tori Evans Taylor, and John Watts, directed by Zach Lipowski. Lipowski. And Adam B. Stein, starring Caitlin Santawana, Tio Briones, Raya Kilstedt, and more. This movie was released May 16th in theaters. And guys, this movie grossed $51,600,106 domestically on opening weekend. Good for number one. And guys, this was not even close. I think number two, I think had like, I don't know, 12, 14 million. This wasn't close. Bloodline, 51 million. Dude, this franchise is back. And on a side note, a very sad note, this was the final film appearance of Tony Todd. And the one thing that has come out of this is they have told the story that they gave him a lot of creative liberties. And those lines that he says in the movie, and I'm not going to, I don't want to repeat them. I don't want to spoil it. They're all over social media, so it might have already been spoiled. But the last lines that he says in this movie, they are saying he ad-libbed that was not necessarily the script. And it's very, very sad in retrospect since he's passed. It's so weird. I don't even want to, because it's going to make me cry. And it's weird to cry at a Final Destinations movie. Again, here's the thing. We're not going to have to talk too long about this, right? It is a Final Destination movie. Overall, Final Destination movie is not that deep, right? We've talked about it, right? Most people, you don't watch a Final Destination movie for necessarily the story. You watch it for the creative kills. We said that last episode when we were talking about reviewing it for this week. However, I will say, Bloodlines has got both. It has super creative and fun kills. They completely lived up to the Final Destination creative kills hype. But I will have to, I gotta say, this to me had one of the better stories of any Final Destination movie I think I've seen. It may, but a lot of the story does rely on the existing franchise and what's already what's already there. But I thought this movie did a great job of laying it out there and talking about it and giving this again, it's like a lot of the Final Destination movies, right? There's the opening sequence that lays the foundation for what the story is in the movie. And it was great. It was first of all, the opening sequence alone was just fantastic. I mean, it was already like the time that was done, I almost feel like you got your money's worth because you already got to see great shit and some great kills and lots of action. And all they were doing was laying the groundwork for the rest of the movie. But I mean, I've got to say, I've liked Final Destination. I like the franchise. I have always said that obviously, right, I love the first. The others I like, but there's a varying degrees, right? Because sometimes, some of them feel like, you're just rehashing, but that's okay because you're right. You're again, like we've said, you want to watch the kills. But I gotta say, I think this, at least since the first one, I think this one has the best overall package. It was fun. It had a good story. Just right up to the end. I mean, all the way through the movie, it was a great story that you could follow along, made sense, and it worked the killing into it, right? They didn't, they grasped and embraced that everybody knows in the Final Destination franchise that death is a character. That, right, this is the villain. And it's they play it like a character. And they didn't try to, like so many times when you restart a franchise or whatever else, and you feel like, oh, they've got to rehash so much that they've done before just to reestablish what they're about. They just went right to it and like, you know what? You know what the fuck Final Destination is. We're just gonna do it. And I don't feel like they stupefied anything in this movie because it had been so long since the last one was out. I think they just leaned into the fact that they assume people know what the gist of these movies are, that people know that death is the villain and a character, quote unquote, of the movies. So they just went with that and ran. And I loved it, man. I love this movie. I cannot wait till it hits video on demand or streaming to watch again. Again, it's just I love. Maybe it says a lot about me. I love watching these kills. And trying to pick up on the little things within these kills to make them. It's like Mousetrap, right? One thing, or what's that? Shit, what is it? Rudyard Kipling or whatever. What is his name? With one thing triggers another, right? The world's most complicated mousetrap type thing. That's the way these deaths are, and I love that. It's so creative, and it's just fun to watch. And I have to say. I was excited about going in because I was like, you know what? People are gonna die. I'm good. And but it even was even better than I expected, and that I'd hoped. I fully enjoyed it. It did not let me down. Again, I don't think it broke grounds because it's a Final Destination movie. It did what Final Destination does. It just did it really well. So it's not like they were reinventing the wheel. They just took the damn wheel that they'd already invented. And perfected it and made it look a little prettier, and but they did it well, and I think this is one of the better entries in the Final Destination franchise. Thoroughly enjoyed it. So Ike, what do you think?
Absolutely. And obviously I have to comment on it, but I definitely did not go into a Final Destination movie thinking that there would be a scene that would damn near bring me to tears. So
I know it.
that was a little bit of a little jarring to me, but
And
like you said,
on a side personal note, I'm not going to give anything away. As we record this next week, I have an MRI scheduled for my knee. There is a scene in this movie that I went in there and told Monica after it was done that I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to the MRI. No, I'm just if you've seen it, you know.
Exactly, but no, and the, you know, so that'd be my first thing, is that this was, you know, a very, you know, Tony Todd, he's been around since the beginning with these movies, really. I mean, he's been Bloodworth since the beginning. And yeah, I just, it's crazy to me that, you know, they were able to bring him in and give him that, you know, liberty to kind of say what he needs to say before, you know, he kind of closes that final chapter, if you will. But as for the rest of the movie, you know, like you said, you get in there, and they're not trying to, as a lot of the others maybe did, they're not trying to explain to you the intricacies of why this is a Final Destination movie. A lot of the other movies do that. They have to try and tell you, hey, this is why this is going to be a Final Destination movie. This movie just goes in and says, fuck it, let's do it. And, you know, and the fact that they started it off with the scene that a lot of people have seen from the trailers, with the tower area place thing, it was very, very, very good. It was a good, just cold open, and then you got right into it. And like you said, as far as stories go, this one probably has the most comprehensive story of any of the movies, frankly. Maybe outside like the first, maybe one or two, this one has definitely the best story, probably just the best in general. Very easy to follow, especially if you've never seen a Final Destination movie, you could very easily follow the story. Even beyond that, if you have seen a Final Destination movie, they have a lot of really cool little quirks and cameos that kind of get dropped here and there, that allude to these other movies and kind of give you a little bit of that semblance of connection to some way. And then, of course, you know, the kills. I mean, that's what you go to a Final Destination movie for. And there are so many memorable kills in this movie. Like you said, there's one with an MRI that's sticks out pretty significant in my mind. There are some other ones, perhaps, that you've seen in the trailer. That are very good too. But there are some sleeper kills in there too.
Yeah,
And I won't tell
they were
you.
all worthy of the franchise.
Yes. There was not a kill in this movie that I would say was particularly weak. There were just some that were better than others. And we even got a little homage to a classic kill. I'm not going to tell you which one, but it hits you right at the end, and you're like, oh shit. But yeah, but absolutely. I mean, I could say so much about this film. It felt like a back to its roots sort of Final Destination movie. But this movie also did a very good job of sort of plugging some plot holes along the way. And I don't want to say, I was going to say something, but it'd be a little bit of a spoiler. But this movie does sort of explain how all the other movies could exist and how they could transpire. So, yeah, I loved it. I loved every minute of it, start to finish. I was glued to that screen, just waiting for something else to hit me.
Yeah, and if you after you watch this, and if you've seen all the others, if you do a little digging online, there was lots of little Easter eggs from previous things, just little things here and there, that kind of tipped their cap to previous things. It's not spoiling, right? There's just stuff where there's like a brand of beer that they've has had multiple appearances since like the second movie, and different things. There's a license plate that pays tribute to the one flight from the original. Just different little things like that. There's a part where I don't think this is a spoiler, but there's a part where they're rattling off trying to think of the name of a hospital, and one of the names they throw out there is Clear Rivers, which was a
Yeah.
character. And so there's lots of little tips of the hat to that, in there. So once you've seen it, and if you've seen the others, definitely look that up, because it's pretty cool, the respect they paid to the past. And it's just, the thing is, we're very keen, and I know Monica has called into question many times our ratings,
Yes.
and I have to explain to her so many times, overall our ratings are almost solely, not entirely, but almost solely, primarily based on enjoyment. Did we enjoy it? Now, if the quality, and there's things that are definitely lacking in the filmmaking, the effects, whatever. That's going to hurt the enjoyment. But you know, she's like, you rank so many that are just that you call middle of the ground or a little better. And I'm like, okay, well, that's because we enjoy them to varying degrees, right? And it's like, and I'm always like, why am I defending this to you? Anyway, but and this is the kind of movie that is just that poster child for that. It's like, again, did this movie break a lot of ground? No, because you still know it's a Final Destination movie. It still sticks overall to that formula that they've always used. They just did it a little bit more creatively this time. I will give them that. But and part of that, I'll be straight, right? Part of it might be the gap since the last one, right? We've got a break. We haven't been bombarded, right? So it's almost like that you know, how can I miss you if you don't go away type thing, right? When it's gone for a bit and then you get one, it's like, oh, I remember why I like these movies so much. But so I'm not saying this movie is some groundbreaking thing. Like I still will hold true that the first one was. But this movie was so damn fun to watch. It had everything that I like about horror movies in it. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, right? I like blood and guts and some gore. Right, I like that. I want to see some splatter, and I want to see. I don't want to see your typical kills now, right? I've seen so many horror movies in my time. I want to see a little creativity in the kills, and this definitely has that. I mean, we talk about some of our movies that stand out. Some of the things we talk about, right? With the Terrifiers, creative kills, the In a Violent Nature, the creative kill. I mean, it's that kind of stuff that jumps at us. Because once you've seen so much horror, you become, I don't know, it's like you, right? You become numb to just someone just straight stabbing somebody.
Right.
You want to see a little creativity, a little effort. And Final Destination's always had that, and this movie really has it in a great way. This is the kind of movie I look for. You know, I don't need to overthink. I don't need to have my sit there and have a total thank fest for 2 hours where I'm trying to figure everything out. Man, I just want to have fun and enjoy the movie, see some fun kills, have a laugh or two, and this and whatnot, and just have a good time. And this movie does that perfectly, and clearly has a lot of across the board appeal. I thought that when I saw it. I think the 51 million shows it
Oh,
that
absolutely.
you know it's lots of people can watch it and enjoy it. And you know, some people will cringe and hide their eyes at certain scenes. Other people will laugh and not, but that's okay. They're still going to enjoy the movie. It's just this is the kind of movie that horror was built upon. And I've rambled. I've got off on sidetracks here because I just sometimes I think horror gets in its own way and overthinks itself. And I'm not saying I don't like a good elevated horror, or I don't like a good horror that makes you scratch your head, and a good horror that throws you a twist that you don't expect. But we have talked about it in the past. Sometimes it's okay to be a little predictable.
Yeah.
It's it, and there were some parts in this movie that were, I will call them predictable, right? There was, I'm, you know, Tony Todd's character was predictable. You knew who that was going to be. From the beginning, to early in the movie, you just knew, right? That's what when you watched the movie, you thought, oh, this is going to be Tony Todd later, and that's okay though. I'm not saying that in a bad way. It just is what it is, and that's okay. Because sometimes when you try to be unpredictable, it just gets cluttered and trashy. But again, I'll step down off my soapbox. I think the YouTube guys got me fired up, and
Probably.
yeah, I think so. He's kind of gotten under my skin for some reason. It's like I just want to snap at him here and. But no. So let's rate this thing. Again, fun movie. I'd highly recommend people go see it. This is one of those that I think is worthy of a would even be worthy of a multiple viewing at theaters. I still think it'd be just fun. I can't wait to watch it again to pick up on anything I may have missed. But yeah, oof. It's hard for me to rate this thing. because I enjoyed it so much. But I can't. It's like, I can't think that it redefined it. I don't know. Fucking hell with it. I'm giving Final Destination Bloodlines a 4 out of 5 because did it break the bank? Did it redesign? Nope. But I just enjoyed it that much. Just on pure enjoyment, it has pushed this movie to a 4 for me. Screw it. I'm standing by it. Whatever. I don't care. That's my opinion. I just got so much enjoyment that it's worth a 4 for me. So Ike, what are you ranking it out of 5 screams?
Absolutely. And honestly, when I left this movie, I looked at Kayla and I was like, this is an easy 4 out of 5 for me. And I slept on it and I thought about it and I'm like, no, I mean, it's still, it's a 4 out of 5. Normally my rating changes after that initial thought, right? That's why I do it. That initial gut instinct, I say it's a this. And then I give myself some time to think about it and then I give my official rating, but this to me is still a 4 out of 5. While it did not reinvent the wheel, it improved the wheel. It continued the same plot, I guess you could say, ish, of all the other Final Destination movies, kept the same formula, but it added a little extra pizzazz. And for that reason alone, it deserves a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe it didn't reinvent the wheel, but Final Destination was the one that made invented this wheel to begin with. So,
Exactly.
but again, I just enjoyed it so much that I can't go lower, right? I mean, a 3.5 just seems too weak for it for me.
Yes.
Because I just enjoyed it that much. And again, my one thing that I was just expecting would be the fault would be, maybe it didn't have a lot of storyline. You're right. It just had the fun kills and that's okay. But nope, I think they delivered on a pretty solid storyline too. So I can't knock that. So, there it is. An agreement 4 out of 5, for Final Destination Bloodlines. Just super enjoyed this movie. And, I gotta say, this is going to be, I think, strong contender for a top five by the end of the year.
I think so.
From what I've seen so far, and I know we've still got over half the year to go, so we'll see what happens. But like we said, next episode, we will be reviewing Fear Street Prom Queen. And on a side note, Ike, our next episode will be our 150th episode. So there you go, a little milestone there for us. Pretty remarkable. Not too shabby for a couple of dudes.
No.
We will we'll whatever. We'll have a drink and cheers next week, but we're not there yet. This is just 149 right now, no big deal. But we would like to say thank you to our wives for all your support and to all of you listeners and social media followers for everything you do, all your interactions. You guys are definitely out there. You're listening, you're seeing our posts, and we're getting some comments, so just keep it going. Tell a friend. Help spread the word. We need you guys to help. Just help us keep growing. And like I said, be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on all the platforms. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the number 2 and Screams, all one word. You'll find us. We're there. It's not hard to find. Before we close this episode out, Ike, anything you want to add?
I forgot to mention earlier, I didn't I was able to play a little bit of the new Doom game, the Doom Dark Ages.
No.
And I mean I love Doom. I've played most of them, like even like the old ones. I just had to come, I meant to say it earlier, but I just really wanted to praise the new one. It's a lot of fun. It's the same just mindless fun Doom stuff. I mean it's not super deep or complicated. It's just a fun shoot 'em up, you know, you're killing demons. So
Creepy at all?
it does. The creatures that you're killing, they are spooky as hell. I
There
mean,
you go.
some of these, yeah, some of these demons, they get super creative in all these games with like how these demons look because they don't look the same as hardly anything else. And so
There you
yeah,
go.
I love the demon design in there and really bloody and gory, of course, like Terrifier levels of blood and gore and everything else.
Oh my.
But if you like Doom, I mean, hey, it's on Games Pass for free, basically.
Well, much like Final Destination, right? Doom helped establish a genre of video games. And So it's okay if they just keep upping their own ante. That's okay.
Absolutely.
They were an OG. They were there, they've been around for a long time. So all right. So go check that out if you want to. And until next week, when once again we'll be reviewing Fear Street Prom Queen. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.